96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
My name is Andre Johnson. I have a great career, a spectacular house, and a loving family I'm surrounded by every day.
Hey, Pops.
Son, can I just please get a little coffee in me before you start this morning?
But as a black man with all this success, sometimes I feel like an oddity.
If you look to your left, you'll see the mythical and majestic black family.
Lately, I feel in order to make it, we've all dropped a little of our culture.
What's up, Andy?
Sup.
Andy? That's not even close to Andre.
I think it says I'm edgy but approachable.
I think it says I hate my father and I play field hockey.
Well, that's from the new hit comedy series, Blackish, where an upper middle class black family struggles with black identity at home and on the job. Well, tonight we are asking, what does being black mean today, and how do you define it for yourself? Well, my guests are Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Tracy Annarella, award-winning filmmaker working on a new project titled Not Black Enough. The lines are open. I want to hear from you tonight. I know you want to talk about this. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Certainly, you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or you can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it. Let me get right to this. Dr. Carr, how do you define being black in 2014?
The same way I would have defined it in 1914, 1814, back to the 15th century. This is a label that we were given as a process of enslavement. Blackness, by definition, is a group identity. Everybody's black enough when you get stopped by law enforcement. Mm. Now, so you can't select out of blackness. I mean, because it is an externally defined kind of thing. When we look at ABC and this new show, Blackish, brother, I mean, it's ABC's turn. CBS did it in the 70s with Good Times, the Jeffersons, all these Norman Lear projects. NBC followed with 227, Amen. ABC is just catching up. I mean, tonight, people will go home and look at a show that has a lot of black people in it, Scandal, and what's this one now, How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we know on both those shows, the blackness is a phenotypical blackness, not really a cultural blackness. The only thing cultural about Scandal is the soundtrack. But the question of group culture is very different than the question of individual kind of expression. I think those are two different things.
Tracy, your film, the film you're working on, Not Black Enough, why did you call it that? Is there such a thing as, in your mind, not black enough?
What's interesting is I chose to do the film due to personal experiences. I would often say to my husband, you know, sometimes I feel I'm not black enough to my own people. Meaning, if I speak a certain way, if I chose to live in a certain neighborhood, if I chose a certain type of music that didn't fit in this self-imposed box that many of us tend to put around ourselves, that I wasn't black enough. And I took advantage of that, those experiences, and decided to make a film about it. And once I started, you know, raising the awareness of what I was doing, more and more people started coming out of the woodwork saying, I've had this same experience on all different levels, different economic levels. You know, people have dealt with it in terms of skin color. They've dealt with it on jobs. They've dealt with it because of the way they speak. It's the whole gambit of experiences that I've dealt with. And as I said, I used my experiences to fuel what I was going to do in making my film.
Dr. Carr, who is Black America defining itself for when it comes to blackness? Okay, here, black college campus, HBCU, black-owned radio station, with the exception of a handful of people here on campus, mm-hmm. Everybody's black.
Right.
Okay? And so you don't have to, when you walk on campus, you don't have to do the brother nod. Because everybody's black and you just kind of keep going. But, you know, sometimes in corporate America, as was demonstrated in Blackish, sometimes you are the first or you are the only, and And it just seems that naturally you're going to speak from, you know, speak to the custodian, to the secretary, to somebody in sales if they are of color.
But absolutely.
Who do we define ourselves
well,
for?
Well, I think that goes back to the definition. The original definition of blackness was imposed on us by a group that was emerging in its own racial definition of whiteness. Blackness is really, in some ways, diametrically opposed to whiteness in that construct. So when you find black people in black spaces, like Howard University, I love the way Kwame Ture once put it, Stokely Carmichael, who was a Howard grad, he said, at Howard you have everything in the African world and its opposite. Once you take away the phenotype and you're in a black space, then people's individuality emerges naturally, and we see it. However, when you're in hostile spaces, anti-black spaces, if you will, things like the nod and the recognition become a common kind of thing, in a sense, a recognition of a common humanity in what is often marked as a hostile space. And Blackish, I think Blackish is part raisin in the sun. Lorraine Hansberry brought this up in the 1950s. What if I want to move into a neighborhood because I got the money to buy the house? Now I have a challenge. Why? I'm in a hostile space. It's part good times. That's the same motif we've seen on sitcoms before. But what is the market for that now? We're playing with fire in some ways when we begin to define ourselves the way other people define us. And at that point, it's a losing game no matter what you say next.
You know, Tracy, when you were researching the film, when you were shooting the film, did you find also that there was a big struggle for black people to identify or to define themselves to other black people? Here's an example. Are you blacker if you spend your summer vacation down south, or are you less black because you summer verb at Martha's Vineyard?
That's exactly what came out of the film. I had people, actually, because I interviewed people from 12 years old all the way up to maybe 76, and it was different for each. And you did find that. In the beginning, you'd have people say that I used to do my summers, my parents would send me down south. And then once I went off to college, I had enough money, and I found out that things were great at Martha's Vineyard. Things were great in the Hamptons. And then you had people that they may have known who may not have been able to afford to do their summer vacations in the Hamptons or in the Vineyard. And that became a little bit of a struggle. So what I found in my film and in my research was that economics was a strong undercurrent of what, you know, resulted in this self-imposed box that I keep talking about of not being black enough. And it was more of an insecurity than anything. So that's what I found throughout my entire journey of making the film, that economics was something that really was the foundation of causing this struggle.
I want to talk about that piece, too, about the money, about economics, about, the black middle class here in America, and often how that may define blackness, too. But let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Cheyenne calling from Washington. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Well, I feel like as of now, being black in 2014 is pretty much the same as it's always been, even during civil rights. We're still discriminated against. I still have people following me around the stores. I'm still looked at as a second-class citizen. I'm still looked at as being lazy and on welfare. So I feel like being black in America right now is not that much different as it was in the 60s.
Hmm.
Also, I would like to say, as far as the Black-ish show, what I was taught is that anytime you put an ISH at the end of something, it means it's not quite, it's like black, but it's not quite black. So if you look at Jewish people, I feel the same way about that. They're not quite Jew, because I think we all are the original Jew.
Interesting. Well, Cheyenne, I appreciate your phone call. And suffice it to say, Anthony Anderson, during the show, did make that comment to his children. He said, let's be black, not black-ish. We're going to talk about this some more on the other side of the break. Lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about what does being black mean today and how do you define it for yourself? My guests are Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies here at Howard University, and Tracy Annarella, award-winning filmmaker working on a new project titled Not Black Enough. The lines are open at 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area. 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let me go back to the phone lines. Tanya, calling from Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, how are you?
Doing just fine.
I'm calling in because I'm light-skinned, and, you know, I have a lot of family members that are dark-skinned, and light-skinned, and some white. My mother is biracial. My grandmother used to clean the man's house, and she got pregnant, and here came my mom. My aunts have a problem with that, and to me, I think that, you know, it's a lot of jealousy, you know, because of the lighter skin. It's economic because my mother made a lot of money, you know, in the field that she chose to work in. And it's just, to me, it's a culture shock. People have self-identity crises and, you know, just not accepting themselves for who they were. Who they are. My mother was never the type of person to tell me, hey, your skin is this and you're going to be this and that. She always just told me to just be who I am.
But what did she, she said, hold on, Tanya, because see, that's the question. She said, just be who you are. But then the question comes up, but who am I? And did you ever ask? Okay, come on now.
Yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a loving person. I'm a giving person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love life for what it is.
So what box do you check? What box do you check when you are applying for a job?
Other.
Because, okay, you do other. Okay. So, and again, this comes back to another issue. And I want you to hold on because last night, we spoke about this same issue during the Reporters' Roundtable, Raven Simone talking to Oprah Winfrey, and this is what she said.
I don't need language. I don't need a categorizing statement for it. I think that's one thing that kind
of... So you don't want to be labeled gay?
I don't want to be labeled gay. I want to be labeled a human who loves humans. I'm tired of being labeled. I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I'm not an African-American. I'm an American.
Oh, girl, don't set Twitter on fire.
I'm sorry.
Lord.
I mean,
what?
I'm
oh,
sorry.
My Lord. What did you just say? Stop the tape right now.
Okay. So you see, Tanya, and she went on to say that she's just an American. She's a human who loves humans. But then she went on to say, but I identify with Asians. I identify with Indians. So even though she doesn't label herself, she labeled the people that she identified with. So it seems to be a bit of a conundrum there.
Yeah, see, I don't do that. People are people. You know, I love people just because they're just people. If you're a kind person to me, I'm a kind person to you. Now, you know, a lot of people take that as, you know, I'm a racist or whatever. I've been called that before because I'm like, you know, you're retarded. I think you're stupid when you act like that. It all depends on the person's actions and how they're carrying themselves. Yeah. That's all I care about.
Well, Tanya, I appreciate your phone call. I need to take a break. If you are on the line, that includes Angela, Loretta, Eric, please stay with us. We will continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More about identifying blackness in just a bit.